6 weeks ago, I began a series of sermons just identifying four cancers of the soul, cancers that can destroy us. Cancers of sexual immorality, evil desire, greed, and anger. And they're described in the letter to the Colossians, the third chapter. And there's something interesting that caught my attention going through these. These cancers are a corruption of some valid parts of our creation. Sexual immorality, a corruption of the God-given gift of sexuality. Evil desire, misplaced use of desires that can corrupt us. We'd be in a terrible shape if we didn't have good desires. Greed, a misdirection of our lives until things become our gods. And finally, anger that I began teaching about last week. Now is the time, the scripture says. Get rid of anger along with rage, malicious behavior, slander, dirty language. Put on your new nature. Be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like Him. See, the old covenant said, just get rid of it and don't let your anger get you. And it's law. But with the inauguration of the new covenant of God and the gift of the Holy Spirit, there's a transforming gift of God, of the Holy Spirit, to everyone who receives Jesus Christ as their Lord, and they begin to follow Him as their Lord. And so you find this balancing in Scripture. Get rid of anger. How? By putting on your new nature. But even that gets overly simplistic as I began talking about anger last week. Everyone experiences anger. Everyone. Unless there's been some kind of a work on your brain that's made you just sort of neutral to all of life, everyone experiences anger. The question is, what do we do with it? How do we express it? And neither stuffing it nor spewing it are effective. Both of those get us in deep trouble. It's a natural response to situations beyond our control, particularly evil. Anger at myself for being so stupid about doing something or getting messed up can become a prompt to growth. Anger can be a prompt to protection. Anger is a natural response to injustice to you, someone you love, innocent people, people loved by God. You see, God calls us to advocate justice for all people. We ought to be angry with the blatant murder of infants in our land. Sins of abortion, crime, theft, abuse. They ought to hook our anger in every human being. But our challenge is, how do we direct it? Do we spew it or stuff it? Neither one. We have to learn to deal with it. But my message is not about that. It's dealing with the subject of anger. You see, there was anger in the life of Jesus. Second book of the New Testament, the book of Mark, identifies at least five instances of anger in the life of Jesus, impatience, indignation. They're there. So if anger is sin, then we've got a problem because we got Jesus sinning. In fact, the story that Mark tells in chapter 3 says Jesus was angry, and the word translated angry is the same word that Paul uses in the letter to the Colossians, get rid of anger. Very same word. So you can't spiritualize it, though we would like. The question is, what do we do with it? Anger can trigger rash, destructive behavior. We've all experienced it from someone else, or we've expressed it. It can dominate our thinking, contaminate our souls, until we view all of life through the lens of anger. Depression, doubt, passive aggressive behaviors, compulsive addictive behaviors, psychosomatic disorders. Anger becomes a terminal cancer as we begin to obsess, focus, nurture the anger. That's the danger of it. But in dealing with it and dealing with these other cancers, we need to be aware of denial, simplistic formulas, and promises of some kind of a miraculous cleansing so that all of a sudden it's all taken care of in one nice, easy action. Beware of denial. This third chapter of Colossians says, don't lie to each other. The worst part is lying to ourselves. Anger will vent, inward or outward, unless handled correctly and redirected. Beware of simplistic formulas. Remember the days of WWJD? What would Jesus do? Or there was another one that was briefly popular, frog. Picture a frog. Fully rely on God. Now, those were really neat, and they've got some neat emphasis, but unless you're put them into practice on a regular basis until they become habit during the good times of life, you don't think clear enough to put them into practice in the heat of a moment triggering anger, right? It has to become deeply ingrained habit. So simplistic formulas, it just doesn't work. Or some kind of a spiritual experience in which God's supposed to all of a sudden cleanse away all anger. But it's a part of our psyche. It's a part of our defense mechanism. Sins come from the misuse of our anger, not from anger. We've all heard the phrase, guns don't kill, people using guns kill. So holy use of anger in our psyche requires training for proper use. The danger of a nice, spiritual, miraculous experience with God is it eliminates our humanity. Instead of redirecting sexual desire in healthy ways, people pray, take away my desire for sex. Some of us may not be around if that happened. Right? Desire. So the issue is not eliminating anger, our psyche, putting us into some kind of a catatonic state. God leads us in a different way. You see, Jesus transformed angering incidents into opportunities for teaching truth, training disciples, doing ministry, advocating justice. He redirected it into healthy expression. So that means we have to identify, confront, and resolve or channel anger. The old proverb says, fools vent their anger, but the wise bring calm in the end. New International Version of that. The sad part is some translations sort of give the picture of stuffing it. You need to vent it. The Apostle Paul in another letter wrote, in your anger, do not sin. It doesn't say it doesn't get angry. It says, in your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. Sometimes that's easier said than done. Theory is get it taken care of. Don't give the devil a foothold. There's the key. When we get angry, pretty soon the devil gets a hold and we begin to nurse that grudge. And we begin to nurse that hurt. And we begin to nurse those wounds. That's the devil getting a foothold. And pretty soon it begins to dog us. And so the apostle says, now is the time to get rid of it. And in that letter to the Colossians chapter 3, and I'm not going to have time to get to it all today, the apostle identifies 8 instructions. Now, the truth is, in a heated moment, you will not recall these. Okay, so there's no simple WWJD. If I can just remember that, I'll be okay. The picture here, though, is developing our lives as followers of Jesus. Because as we do that, that begins to shape the way we respond to life. It leads us in maturation. And so don't wait till the angering moment and wonder why God didn't somehow help you. We have to put these practices into place on a regular basis. They develop Christ-like character. They help us understand our humanity and direct those expressions appropriately. But again, they have to be practiced in the routine days when we can think clearly so we can reflect Jesus in the threatening situations when we don't have time to think clearly. Habit is not bad, it's the habit that you have that gets you in trouble. Habit is not bad, it's the habit that you have that helps you in the threatening moment. Well, let's just look at one or two of these. One, the first one, found in verse 12. Realize God chose you to be a holy person whom he loves. This letter to the Colossians, you'll recall, it's written to holy and faithful brothers and sisters in Christ, characterized by faith in Christ, love for one another, and hope in God's redemption. You see, to be holy is to belong to God. To be holy is to belong to God. When we repent of our sins, we do more than just say, I'm sorry, God. I won't hit you again. That sounds nice for a 3-year-old on the playground. Right? But we're adults now. Yeah, I think. That's only part of it. Repentance is moving on to follow Jesus as our Lord, letting him teach us. The scripture says we have been raised to new life with Christ. We died to our old life. And our real life is hidden with Christ in God. So in Christ, who is your life is revealed to the whole world. You will share in his glory. To be a Christian is to be a follower of Jesus. So the issue isn't don't get angry. The issue is don't do bad. The issue is don't get. The issue is, first of all, who are you? You claim to be a Christian? Let that shape you. The apostle writing in another letter says, you were washed. You were sanctified, made holy. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus by the Holy Spirit. Now we're back to the Pentecost. The old covenant, shape up. The new is, you've been transformed by the grace of God. Now we put into practice what God has given us. Again, this is difficult to remember in the heat of the moment, in the face of threat, a false accusation, but we grow in our knowledge of Christ. Which leads us to the second instruction, put on your new nature regularly, daily. You've heard the old prayer, haven't you? Lord, it's been a beautiful day. I haven't made any mistakes. I've been absolutely perfect. But in 5 minutes, I've got to get out of bed and start my day. And things will go downhill from there. Right? Anybody ever prayed that one? Well, maybe not that one, but something similar, right? Daily, we put on the new nature. The Apostle Paul basically says, look up, not down. Make Jesus your Lord and model every day. Redraw your boundaries and expectations so they reflect Jesus instead of the world around you. So let me ask you a question. The things that anger you, what do they tell you about your boundaries? Play with that one for a while. The things that anger you, what do they tell you about your boundaries? When we get angry, someone has crossed the boundaries of our expectations and they threaten us. Putting on your new nature, we're called to look up and we begin redrawing those boundaries. Guided by the Holy Spirit, informed by the Scripture, transformed by the Spirit of God within us. Yeah, my time's gone. We're going to be celebrating seniors next Sunday. I'm just going to finish this, living God's way, and finally ending with that verse 17 of that third chapter. A good theme for life. Whatever you do, word to deed, do it all to the glory of God. Let's close with a prayer together. Ben, come on ahead. And it's simply a prayer that says, Lord, open the my eyes that I might see. An old song. Glimpses of truth you have for me. And then a verse that says, open my mind, Lord. Open my mind to what you have for me. I invite you to stand and make this a prayer on this Pentecost Sunday, Memorial Day weekend, a prayer to God.